Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It's lovely to have you with us on this second Sunday of Easter, is what it's technically known as these days. But anyway, the Sunday after Easter, and it's lovely to have you here. We will, of course, all be saddened by the death of the Duke of Edinburgh a couple of days ago. And I would just like to say that I'm hoping to hold a commemorative service in St. Peter's in the course of this coming week. I hope to speak to the town clerk tomorrow morning and find out when we can do that, but I'm looking at the possibility of something on Wednesday evening at present. But I when I know what the arrangements are, I will email out to everybody so that you will know. And I thought we might begin our service, before we start our service this morning, that we might make use of the Church of England's official prayer. A prayer for His Royal Highness the Duke of Edinburgh. So let's pray before we move into the rest of our service. Father of all mercies and God of all consolation, you pursue us with untiring love and dispel the shadow of death with the bright dawn of life. Give courage to the Queen and the royal family in their loss and sorrow. Be their refuge and strength, O Lord. Reassure them of your continuing love and lift them from the depths of grief into the peace and light of your presence. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, who though he died is now alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn to our order of service for morning prayer on this second Sunday of Easter. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In your resurrection, O Christ, let heaven and earth rejoice. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Blessed are you, Lord God of our salvation. To you be praise and glory forever. As once you ransomed your people from Egypt and led them to freedom in the promised land, so now you have delivered us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your risen Son. May we, the first fruits of your new creation, rejoice in this new day you have made and praise you for your mighty acts. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever.
And so we turn to our Easter anthems. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
So let us celebrate the feast.
Not with the old leaven of corruption and weakness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Christ, once raised from the dead, dies no more.
Death has no more dominion over him.
In dying, he died to sin once for all.
In living, he lives to God.
See yourselves, therefore, as dead to sin
and alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Christ has been raised from the dead,
the first fruits of those who sleep.
For as by man came death,
by man has come also the resurrection of the dead.
For as in Adam all die,
even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever.
Amen. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. Risen Christ, you filled your disciples with boldness and fresh hope. Strengthen us to proclaim your risen life and fill us with your peace. To the glory of God the Father. Amen.
And our first reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 4, beginning at verse 32. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our psalm this morning is Psalm 133. Behold how good and pleasant it is to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down upon the beard, even on Aaron's beard, running down upon the collar of his clothing. It is like the dew of Hermon, running down upon the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has promised his blessing, even life forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, world without end. Amen.
Amen. And our second reading comes from St. John's Gospel, chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the twelve, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "You have believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. There are a tantalizing and intriguing couple of sentences at the end of this week's gospel reading. Did you notice them? In verses 30 and 31, the author of John's gospel explains that Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. Wow, how very intriguing. I wonder what they were. Will we ever know? What were the stories that remain untold? What were the miracles and wonders that John felt he had to leave out? How did he decide which to include and which not? Actually, we know the answer because John tells us. He chose the particular ones he did for a single, all-important reason. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. These stories have been recorded to help us believe and to have faith. And that includes the story we have read this morning about doubting Thomas. The story of Thomas is an essential story to help us come to belief. After the celebration and joy of Easter Day, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The story of Thomas brings us back to earth with a bump. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. In other words, if I don't see it with my own eyes, I won't believe. What an outright, straightforward, and honest response. I can imagine how Thomas felt. Everyone else he was with had seen Jesus, but he hadn't. He needed to see for himself. He needed to have his own story to tell. It wasn't enough to dine out on the story of others. It had to be real to him. And the same is true for us. We can read about people who have encountered Jesus. We can hear countless stories of people who have experienced the power of Jesus in their lives. But we need to know it and experience it for ourselves. Thomas's demand is a bold and audacious one. And it's one that we all should make. I need to know the power and the presence of the risen Lord Jesus, and I need to know it and experience it and feel it now. Thomas's story encourages us to be honest in our faith. His story tells us that it is okay to doubt. It's okay to voice our fears and our hopes. It's okay to desire more, and it's okay to feel envious or uncomfortable with those who seem to believe so easily, who experience Jesus so readily, and often much more dramatically than we do. On Easter Day, the story of the resurrection seems so wondrously obvious. A week later, it feels a little more complicated. According to John's Gospel, Thomas had to wait for a whole week after his friends first told him that they'd seen Jesus. I wonder what that week felt like for him. Did he think he'd missed out and that was it? He'd missed seeing Jesus and it was too late? The story of Thomas has always made me feel a little uncomfortable, as if there is something wrong with having doubts, even though I've had them myself. I don't think the problem is just that Thomas doubted, but that he doubted so publicly. It's one thing to doubt in private, but it's quite another to doubt publicly, especially if you're a disciple. I am guessing that even though Thomas probably felt at odds with the other 10 disciples, there must have been something about them, about their relationship and their friendship that allowed Thomas to voice his doubts and fears. And I love that. We need to be a community in which we can talk about our faith together and tell our story, but tell it in a way that is real. Doubts, disappointments, failures, successes, and all. And as Thomas expresses his doubts and makes his demands, Jesus suddenly appears. Notice his response. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Jesus comes to Thomas and meets him where he is. Jesus makes Thomas part of the resurrection story, and so makes Thomas's story part of his own. Jesus willingly offers Thomas everything he needs to see and touch, making him a witness to the most extraordinary of things, death defeated and resurrection life. Another thing that has made me feel uncomfortable about Thomas's story was that his doubt, his uncertainty, his need for evidence, his reluctance to believe his friends, at times to me seemed like a sign of weakness, a spiritual flaw. But as I ponder Thomas's story, I no longer see it that way. Thomas desired to have a living encounter with Jesus. He wasn't content to settle for someone else's experience of the resurrection. He wanted to have his own. And he dared enough to say it and to voice his doubts, even though he was surrounded by those who were certain. Thomas was not weak. Thomas desired a holy and a beautiful thing: to see Jesus, to know him, and to be known by him. John's desire in writing his gospel, choosing which stories to include, was so that people would come to believe, that they would be disciples walking in the way. Coming to belief implies that belief is not always instantaneous. It takes time. It's a journey. Maybe that is why John chose to include this story. May we be Christian communities who welcome the skeptical and the doubter. May we walk the journey of faith together through times of joy and times of doubt and pain. And above all else, may we seek to know and to be known by the living Lord Jesus. Amen.
Let's turn now to prayer. And at the words, "Jesus, Lord of life," please will you respond, "In your mercy hear us." Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy hear us. And so in the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Father, we praise you for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Shed his glorious light on all Christian people, that we may live as those who believe in the triumph of the cross. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy hear us. We pray for those who at this season are receiving in baptism your Son's new life by water and the Spirit. Dying with Christ, may they and we know the power of his resurrection. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy hear us. We pray for all whom we know and love, both near and far. May their eyes be opened to see the glory of the risen Lord. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy hear us. We pray for all who suffer pain and anguish and who stand in need of your strength and healing today, especially Pam, Jack, Jen, Catherine, Brian, David, Jennifer, Mavis, Vera, Stephen, Steve and Adrian, Jean, Jane, Olwyn and Alan, Rosemary, Ryan and Andrew, Margaret, Alana, Clifford, Jean, Dennis, Christine, and others known to us. Bring them your healing, we pray, and fill them with your peace. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. And we remember before you all who have died in the hope of resurrection, especially Anne Williams, Doreen Checketts, Peter Richards, Margaret Rabjohns, and Valerie Clark, and all those whom we remember with love and thanksgiving. And we remember again Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. Unite us with all the faithful departed in your undying love. Jesus, Lord of life,
in your mercy, hear us.
Most merciful God, who by the faith and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, delivered and saved mankind, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross and rose again on the third day, we may triumph in the power of his victory. Jesus, Lord of life,
in your mercy, hear us.
And the collect for this second Sunday of Easter. Almighty Father, you have given your only Son to die for our sins and to rise again for our justification. Grant us so to put away the leaven of malice and wickedness, that we may always serve you in pureness of living and truth. Through the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we join together in the words of the prayer that Jesus himself taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
God the Father, by whose love Christ was raised from the dead, open to you who believe the gates of everlasting life.
Amen.
Amen. God the Son, who in bursting the grave has won a glorious victory, give you joy as you share the Easter faith.
Amen.
God the Holy Spirit, whom the risen Lord breathed into his disciples, empower you and fill you with Christ's peace.
Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and always.
Amen.
Amen. And we say together, God of our salvation, you have restored us to life, and by the triumphant death and resurrection of Christ, you have brought us back again into your love. Continue to heal us as we go to live and work in the power of your Spirit, to your praise and glory. Amen. Thank you very much for joining us again this morning. It's been lovely to worship with you this morning. This low Sunday, isn't it called?
Low Sunday.
Low Sunday. It's not been so low.
That's why my voice is like this.
Gravelly Sunday.
Yeah.
Just a reminder that the Coffee Morning is up and running this week, and I hope to join you for that. The Easter online service is on the website. Thank you so much for everybody who contributed to that. If you haven't watched it yet, then please do. And I understand that a film record of the Easter Trail will be online from Monday. Thank you so much for all those who worked so hard towards that and who've been on it. And if you weren't able to see it, then you will be able to watch it on the website.
I've seen the video and I think it's wonderful. You've done such a great job in all nine churches. I think it's really terrific. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, so thank you. And we'll keep you posted about a possible service at St. Peter's, which we can all join in with, can't we?
In some form or another.
Yeah, in some form or another. So we'll have something on the website or we'll email you about that as and when we know.
Yeah.
So have a great day.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice service, Dad.
Thank you.
Thank you, telephoners. Thank you very much for being here this morning.
Bye. Bye. Bye.